I'm JC.
And I'm Will.
And I'm Jordan. And you're listening to Dude.
Great job! You did great, Jordan. And Jordan's our second guest. Yay! Second guest! Hooray! Jordan's also joining us from an iPad, so we'll see how the technology holds up, but that's all that matters. So Jordan, I guess let's take a step back. So Jordan Hill is one of our oldest and dearest friends, and part of
you could say if the two of us had a trio, Jordan would definitely be.
Yes, completely agree.
He's the third leg of the tripod.
There's no doubt about that. And but I'm saying, Jordan, is I'm like, was this a good thing? Probably not. Like in the sense of like us, like is the world better for us have existing and meeting each other? I don't know about that. In fact, like maybe the world's in a much better place had that not happened.
Now that we're a little more separate. I don't think that's true whatsoever. I do think that when we're together, we actually, it's like our joy spreads is what I like to see it as. I mean, everybody that is with us ends up having a good time. They're always like, you boys. Oh, you boys.
That's because we're hanging around your mother a lot. That's a lot. That's Cindy Hill right there. You boys, you boys. Like, oh. And by the way, Cindy, touché. One of my favorite things about your mother was like your mother, the difference between like my mom, Will's mom, and your mom is like our moms were like, hey, like they were mom and they stayed kind of in their mom lane. You know what I'm saying? But Cindy was like one of the boys. You know what I'm saying? Like she kind of just like she knew about like drama. She knew about like relationship thing. Like I remember like her taking like Will aside at one point and being like, let's talk about your relationship. Like she would like talk to Will about like his relationship challenges.
There was one time your mom and I started talking about my relationships in high school, and and I said something to the effect of like a teacher was scolding me about my relationship, and she goes, well, that's none of that teacher's business. And I go, thank you. I feel heard. Thank you. I appreciate this.
That's Mama Hill.
Yeah, she's the best.
Which again, I think it's credit to her. Like she was awesome. Like everyone loved Cindy. Like Cindy was like a badass. Like everyone loved her.
It was almost like she would insert herself just to check on us.
By all accounts, listen, here's what I like to say, and we won't get into specifics, but like what I've come to the realization of is, first of all, anything that we did in high school was so freaking pain compared to like just hearing my wife's stories. I'm like, what? You guys were doing what? And like, I think the Northeast in general, they just let their kids, they're like, I don't know, like they're in the basement hooking up. That's what you do.
Let them run. Just let them run. We figured it out.
I left a bunch of condoms down there. It's fine. No, like there's just a whole different culture up here where there's like, here, let me give you an example. Something I think's insane. I think it's insane. And they might have stopped it since then. But like in the Northeast, when you graduate high school, there's something called senior week. And it's a known thing. And you rent a house. As an 18-year-old, you rent a house with your friends. And it's typically like the entirety of groups of friends at a shore house rents a house. And like, what do you think goes on at that house? Like, and I've heard stories from, you know, Carol Ann. I've heard stories from like Carol Ann's cousin. Like it's a known thing. And I try to like explain to them, like that would have like no way, shape or form.
Is there supervision?
No.
Is there supervision?
No, but it's such a rite of passage up here. Like they don't they're like, well, we had it or we had something like that. Like it's such a like institutionalized thing in the Northeast that like literally have parents who like will put they'll put the deposit down the house. It's It's insane. Like, let's just call it what it is. It's crazy because they're destroying the house. Yeah. They're doing God's knows what. But, and again, it's like that was the culture up here. And it's like where we were at, if like, you know, somebody drank one Bud Light, you know, they were going to be, you know, they were going to be, you know, suspended and kicked out of school and taken to rehab. You know, that was the yeah. difference. And we don't get the specific stuff, but it's just a very different culture. And anyway.
Yeah.
So going back, Jordan, so we all met in fifth grade, right? Fourth grade.
Yes.
Fifth grade.
Because you and I came to the school at the same time.
And one thing I thought might be interesting to talk about on the pod, just to get your like two cents, like being like, what, at this point, like 20 plus years removed. So like, you come to this school, you come to, and were you, you're from Tulsa, or born and raised, or you born in Kansas or Iowa? You were all over the place.
Yeah, born in Tulsa, moved to Kansas City, then to Iowa, then back to Tulsa. Gotcha.
Oh, you were born in Tulsa?
Yeah.
But you have no ties to Tulsa outside of, your parents have no ties to Tulsa, right? It's Kansas City.
I don't believe so, right? Like... Yeah, mom's from Kansas City, dad's from New York. My grandmother lived here, or lived in Tulsa. But yeah, otherwise, like...
I didn't know that.
Yeah, we were all over the place. I think Tulsa just became that... I mean, I think a job opened up, and Tulsa just became the new spot because they liked it, and it's cheap.
But what I thought, true. When you first... So I think your calling card... Early on in school, when we met you, was you were a gymnast.
Yeah.
So can you just like what?
It's what made Jordan Hill at a young age jacked.
Right? Oh yeah.
Like you were jacked at a very young age.
Like
still, and it's weird because like my body physique is still built around that.
That's insane.
It's crazy.
Yeah. Like it really blows my mind what they do to children. And that's why, like, until my daughter specifically is like, can I please do gymnastics? There's no way I'm putting her through that. It's so much work on a child. But basically, yeah, like now I still got it. Like I barely work out.
So when did you start gymnastics?
I remember starting in Iowa, so I was probably like 5 or 6.
Oh, wow.
And then when we moved to Tulsa, I must have had like some motor skill issues. I don't know. I mean, with ADHD, you know how it goes. We just run into stuff sometimes. But so I think my parents were concerned and put me into those motor skill classes at the gym. And then I just like jumped into it. I was like, yeah, I want to do flips. Yeah, I want to swing from a bar. And then it just became...
And what would that be like 2 hours a night? Like how long were you doing it? Like I was just curious.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
That was 2 hours a night. And they've got it much better now. Some of my students are gymnasts and I'm like, hey, if you need extra time with your homework, and they're like, why would I need extra time? I'm like, cause you're so much time in the gym. And they're like, practice is an hour. Like I'm good. So they've definitely changed it because I was there. I remember being there after the sun went down. It's like super dark out and coming home and just basically showering and crashing.
Did you compete?
Yeah.
Were there aspirations to becoming an Olympian? I don't know this about you. Like, were you trying to become an Olympian?
So basically, I had like the perfect stature for a gymnast if they could like build me into one. And so, yeah, they eventually got me into competing. Fun fact. Hold up. Y'all are going to laugh at this. Found this the other day.
He's walked away. We have no idea what he's about to show us for the audience.
Here we go. You ready?
Oh,
my word.
I don't even know why it's in the possession, but it says state champion Jordan Hill, first on vault. And I was like, what?
Ooh, wow. I didn't realize you were a state champion.
What were your specialties? What did you do? Like, did you do the open floor with the flips or poles?
Well, so when you're younger, you do everything because you don't have like they have now with the that you see like in the Olympics where, oh, they specialize in floor and vault, where those guys specialize in parallel bars and high bar, and then you've got pommel horse and rings. Like they've got it set up almost like, you know, a baseball team. You've got your, the guys that just hit and you know what I mean? They just go out up to bat. So but I did a little bit of everything. I was horrible at pommel horse and I want to say parallel.
Well,
no.
Well, yeah. Can you, I'm sorry. What's the pommel horse?
Okay. So pommel horse is like that long rectangle with handles on it. And that you see the guys like swing, they're like holding themselves on the handles and swinging back and forth.
Like, what the heck is the name pommel horse? Do you have any idea?
I've always wondered that myself, but never really cared to look into it. I mean, it is kind of like it makes me wonder if there was another use for it, and then gymnastics was like, "We'll take it."
Like teach you how to get onto a horse, or
it
something.
It was some ancient weapon. It was some torture. They were like, "Oh, this is an old torture device, the pommel horse. It would stretch people, but we can't torture people no more. So what we gotta do with it? I know. We'll have kids." Gymnastics
we'll give it to
and
the
they'll just flip around. They'll flip around on the pommel horse.
And just flip their legs.
They'll flip around.
So,
I do wonder if like the training. I do wonder like again. So this was the mid to late 90s when you were doing this. Early 2000. No, probably not even early 2000s. Wow. It probably would have been like 99.
Yeah,
so,
it was.
Or maybe 2000, 2001 at latest. So I'm wondering if like training, I wonder if like some of that was like post Cold War, you know, because like it was such a like who knows? Maybe they were like, we have to build him to beat Russia. Maybe that was like you had like those things. I don't know.
Can I clarify something? Yeah. Are you saying you think people were training boys to become gymnasts to eventually turn them into soldiers?
No. Well, that let's first of all, it's not a bad idea because Jordan. Think about the cool things Jordan could do. I mean, it would be very amazing if he could just like
and still kind of can do.
Could you imagine? He's like on the
backflip.
He's like on the pommel horse, swinging around his legs. Hey, that! No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying like, but you remember like everything was like, okay, like think like Rocky IV, everything was like about like beating the Soviets at that time. And like, it was in every capacity. It was like, so like the sports were like, that's all I'm saying is like, maybe some of the training was ingrained because of that. I don't know.
I mean, I definitely had a lot of old school coaches that like they were some of the OGs of gymnastics when it like really became an Olympic. I mean, it's, I think, has it always been? I don't even know when it started becoming an Olympic sport.
I would hope it would always be like, because what else would, no offense to gymnastics, but like what else without the Olympics? I mean, every once in a while, it is like when football season's over and you're like scrolling through the TV and you're like, whatever.
They don't have a whole. No, in the 90s, though, it was crazy because, I mean, I remember watching the Olympics and it was like, we got to beat the Russians. Those are our competitors. But then, like, I remember going to meets and meeting like Olympic gymnasts, and I met these like, but they were the Russian gymnasts. The Russian gymnasts came and trained with us. That was the crazy thing.
Wow, that's crazy.
But definitely some old school stuff. I remember. Let me share a horror story. So obviously one of the things you've got to learn how to do when you're a gymnast is the splits, and I mean, as you guys have always made fun of me for, I've always been very flexible, you know, so I'm always stretching. But it literally, like my max split down the middle, I guess you could say, was probably about, what would that be, like 85 degrees or something like that. So they really wanted just
Which flat. Is probably 60 degrees better than what me or Will could do. Just just for basis, or I don't know. Anyway, okay, I can't, yeah, I can't sure. do any. I can't. I'm so yeah. unflexible.
But they had this old ass machine, and it literally was meant to just spread my legs.
Oh my God! What?
And I remember screaming. It hurt so crazy. Bad.
Can you imagine walking into that room, not knowing what you're walking into, and it's a bunch of boys and apparatuses screaming like,
oh my God! And your parents like, what?
You imagine, like, what is happening in that warehouse? Little boys opening their legs. What is this?
Oh my God.
This is madness.
And your parents would like watch you at practice and they're like, stretch him! Stretch him!
Stretch him! But here's the crazy. So here's a crazy thing. So like I actually this isn't the first time I thought about this, and I've looked back and I'm like, oh, that might have been like a little trauma there when that happened. And I was thinking more about it, and it's like they put me in this machine. I'm like screaming, and nobody's doing anything about it.
Can you describe the machine? How does the machine work?
Yeah.
It's okay. So like there, you have this spot where you can sit outs for your legs, like a contraption to hold your legs. Okay. But then they've got these pads that keep your legs from like falling inwards. And so they just have a little thing that they would and it just start opening your legs. Yeah. And then on top of it, you got this thing like right here keeping you from like falling forward. So you're like having to sit up right as they are. It's like everything, like think about doing this splits, like sitting upright and what your legs would do and what your body, like you would want to fall forward, your legs would want to fall in. So they like, they thought of everything. They just were like, no, you can't. It was awful. And they did it somewhere where the parents couldn't see.
I just sent a picture. See if that picture is what you're talking
about. So I'm holding it up to the screen. Does that?
Yes. Yes.
That man, even though he's doing it to himself, looks miserable in that picture.
So imagine doing that to like a 10-year-old.
Yeah. So as you're now an adult in therapy or going through these things, you're like, where some of that trauma may come from. Yeah, that's right. The machine.
Do you think, having been able to do the splits at that age, do you think you have a stronger or weaker pelvic floor?
I mean, and yoga helped me realize that just all the stretches you do, like things I tend to pick up things in the hip area, like moves and positions a lot easier than other people. But I also think it really messed with, like, you know why they say kids shouldn't do like the W sit?
What's the W sit? I'm sorry.
You sit on your knees, but your legs are like,
Okay. Where your legs literally go behind you kind of. And like you said, Okay.
So first of all, that itself is not a yoga move, but like that is something you can do in yoga. And I started doing it and started realizing like, oh, my hips are so bad. And I was wondering like all of those split trainings and everything I had to do. I don't know.
Are splits good for you or bad for you?
I don't think there's necessarily a bad thing about it. I mean, you're strengthening your groin. Is really in your hip flexors and all that. So can I say groin?
We bleeped it out. We're like certain countries in the Middle East. We just like, no, bleep it. It was pretty badass because you came in again. You were this little buff boy, which is such a weird kid. Again, gymnast kids always jacked. So yeah, no, it was crazy. So you just show up and you were this boy, you could do back handsprings and things. Like it was incredible, and all of us were like, ugh. Like I'm like, I can't even go down the slide, you know what I mean, correctly. Like I fall out of the slide and you're like doing all this. But yeah, no, then yeah. we all kind of ganged up and realized I think we were all a bunch of collective weirdos. And you know,
we're all very different too. Like, wouldn't you say that's true? Like all three of us are very in our own little category, but we all kind of have a common thread too.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I feel like you, like for Will and I, it's like that artistic you know, you and I are both on that wave. And then with JC, you and I have that acting and just.
You guys were like really good at video games, which I felt like the outsider there.
We were good at Zelda because we had the player's guide.
That really was it. It was just the player's guide really was just the thing that defined the good versus the bad. So the last week I have spent, fun employment. Hooray. Right. So finding some obscure things to do. I have Grandma Watch, a couple of days. Nona, who is a 90-year-old Italian. I have watched her.
Do you say you have Grandma Watch? That makes it sound so perverted. Like, dude, I've been watching a lot of grandmas lately. I've been watching Gertrude and Estelle.
My search history is Grandma Watch. No. No, I was literally employed by Carol Ann's best friend to watch her elderly grandmother.
Get out of here.
I did it.
You are like, so you literally are Grandma Watch.
Yeah. Yeah. And I got to tell you about her time because I had all this, like, I had, you know, some really interesting moments with Nona, who I called her Nani.
That's, I would assume.
And I called her Nani, which is incorrect. And she finally corrected me. She goes, that is... I am Nona. 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 And I go, okay. So she kept telling me that she was from Venezia, right? And like, I would Google Venezia. I couldn't find it. So I was like, A, this is a fictional city that she has forgot because her memory isn't very good, right? She tells you the same story about 20 times. It's so beautiful. Yeah. I love food. My impression of her is like Mario, Luigi, yeah, but like it's literally this cute little like, I love the food. Oh, here's the sad thing. Like, it's Venice, guys. I had no idea. But yeah. I had no idea because I'm an idiot. I didn't conjugate words. So I'm like, Valencia, and I'm like put in my phone and I'm like it keeps going like Valencia where I studied abroad spam. Like that's not I know that place. It's not that. Anyway, but most of what we do is I make her food. I kind of just watch her. She has a little bathroom in on the main floor of where it's like she only has one restroom and it's upstairs. And when she comes down for the day, she is not going back up the stairs until she goes to sleep. So there's a little like makeshift, you know, like a toilet thing that's like in the living room.
A little thing. Porta potty.
But she's really sweet. And she only like, she's a tiny little woman. Like she's a tiny little like woman. So just be like,
there's no way she could get up those stairs.
No, she's good. She just goes, I'm going to go to the bathroom now. Can you leave? And I go, okay. And I would just like walk out and she'll pee or whatever. And then I come back and then I make her a sandwich. But basically, so what I realized that we watch a lot of TV, and it's funny because I don't even know if she really like. But I don't think she knows necessarily what's going on anymore. I think she just likes the moving pictures and the familiarity. Where so we watch so much Price is Right.
Awesome.
We watch Price is Right, and here's the great thing on the Price is Right, it is not like new crappy Drew Carey Price is Right, it's like vintage Classic. Bob Barker, like 1980s. It was called the Barker era, and it was only Bob Barker episodes, and it was also like Bob when like Bob was like at the peak of his power. I want to talk a little bit about Price is Right if we can. Every contestant kisses Bob when they go on
male,
like on his hand or
no
like
cheek. So like you get like, so you're in the audience
males.
No, you're right, it was only female. I will say it was only females. So he was power, like there's all these like stories that have come out that he was like apparently like sleeping and harassing all the, they were called Barker's beauties. The women who showed things were literally called Barker's beauties. And allegedly, he was not very good to them. And, like, you see it. It's so, like, obvious when you're watching it. You're like, oh, my gosh, this man. But, like, I'm not going to lie, guys. I fell under his charm. Like, I'm not, like, I get it. Like, Bob, like,
you're like, oh,
he's funny.
I want to go up there and kiss him on the cheek.
Whatever he wants. I mean, I get it. Like, he is handsome. He's, like, right on. He's always in control. Like, always. Like, even if you have, like, a crappy guest. Also, another thing I felt, like, dude, all the guests, either everybody was really attractive in the 70s or, like, they did a really, really good job, like, screening the people. Like, everybody was beautiful. Like, every contestant, for the most part. Like,
I mean, that would make sense that they would screen contestants.
But yeah, no, I fell under his charm, and I just couldn't stop. Like, it's a great, like, I think it is the greatest game show of all time. And it's also, like, weird what prices, like, did increase and have, like, gone up in, like, obviously with inflation and everything. But, like, certain things, like, have not. That's the other really wild thing, like refrigerators.
Oh, really?
Yeah, appliances in general are about the same, which is crazy.
I mean, he was in all honesty, it was like that 70s era perfect game host. They all were creepy.
Yeah.
If you go back and look at that era, you're just like, what were y'all thinking?
The only thing about him that kind of weirded me out is, you know, he did that job for a long time. He did that to him, like, it's just late 70s.
Oh, I think he may have been into his mid 80s. Well, as a game show host too, like, you gotta, like, listen, you gotta look. So, like, you know, they're putting on the heavy makeup. I'm sure he was tanning. Like, so, yeah. Like, that was not kind.
His teeth are immaculate. Did they have veneers back then? Oh, they did.
Well, they may have not been veneers. They may have been true dentures. I mean, he may have just said, hey, like, well, yeah, like, get rid of these bad boys. You know, give me the dench. But yeah, dude, anyway, so I just fell under his spell. That was something that I thought was interesting, but what I was doing. That, and then I Love Lucy. We watched a lot of I Love Lucy.
Best show of all, I grew up on that. Best show of all time.
Low key, she's a babe. Like, super babe. Like, that, in retrospect.
She is pretty, like, attractive, yeah.
Like, I was like, how did I not, like, I didn't realize as a child, but I'm like, dude, Lucy is like,
one of the top 10 best moments in all of television. There's the episode where, you know, the age-old Lucy story. She wants, her husband's in showbiz. She wants to be in showbiz. She wants to be a star. Her husband won't let her. And so she finds a way to sneak herself into a commercial. She books a commercial without her husband knowing. And the commercial is for medicine. It's called Vitamita Vegemin. And it had alcohol in it, but she didn't know it. She kept doing take after take after take, and she gets insanely drunk. It's one of the funniest scenes I've ever seen.
It really is, yeah.
It still makes
me vada 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 vada
vada parties. Are you funny?
There was a very much, like, there very much was, like, this whole, like, storyline of, like, it becomes, like, it becomes this funny thing where, like, you know, Mert ends up sending some flowers to Lucy, like, and meant them to be from Ricky, but, like, he accidentally wrote his name because he wasn't thinking. And so then, like, they thought he was cheating. So, like, there's all these, like, layered, like, things that are very dark, whether it's, like, cheating or, like, domestic spousal abuse. And, like, all these things that are layered within the show that I'm like, I actually don't think they could shoot these things today. Yet they shot them then, yet they couldn't show a couple in bed together. It's just crazy.
Well, and what I love about that whole story too is, like, you've got the whole concept of they didn't have their beds together. You saw them sleeping in separate beds, and then somehow a baby is there. It was kind of revolutionary at the time, believe it or not.
I believe that. Yeah, they had a smush room.
Rock on, Lucy.
In Jersey Shore. That's what they had.
I got a smush room, Ricky.
Guess who the first couple in TV history to share a bed, not have separate beds?
Dinosaurs. That dinosaurs show with the puppets. That'd be so weird, like, dinosaur and Jim Henson puppet show.
The answer is eerily close to that.
In the 80s, 90s?
60s.
Oh, Happy Days?
No.
Okay.
No.
Happy Days was actually 70s.
You're right, it was. I think it was shot. We're actually fresh in 80s.
You'll never guess it. You'll never guess it.
Is it all? No, All in the Family was 70s.
Jeffersons?
The Munsters.
What?
What? What? No.
The Munsters.
No.
That's crazy. Anyway, those have been kind of my days hanging out with this old lady, old woman, Nona, who I love to death. By the way, I'm not like saying that disparagingly. She's amazing and she's so sweet. But like literally, it's just.
Are you allowed to talk about her? Or I guess you're not in the medical profession, so.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I'm not. Literally, I was. Hey, can you take? She's partying in Puerto Rico and was like, hey, can you watch my grandma for a couple days? And I'm like, sure. So like, it's great. Yeah.
I still can't believe that. When you said you were grandma sitting, I thought like, has our friend become a pervert? Like Jordan and I kind of looked at each other like.
Literally, we both, I could tell you were looking at it. Like...
I was picturing like you sitting on a grandma or something. Like a grandma sitting.
She knows I have my thing. And I'm just like, babe, just like one more grandma. Okay. It's like not weird.
It's so beautiful. Oh. Venice,
which I'd be like, you mean Venice? And she's like, yes, Venice. Oh, it's beautiful. But there's no jobs. There's no jobs. She told me this a bunch. I don't know why I thought it was funny, but it stuck with me. She goes,
they make the scissors. They make the scissors. You know, they make the scissors.
And she just kept telling me that. I'm like, yeah, they make the scissors. And like that would apparently Venice makes the scissors and she would tell me that. But then she's like,
I came to America. No jobs. Like I'm to America, but they make the scissors in the mountains.
Okay. She told me that.
How long did you do this?
2 days.
Like how long were your shifts?
I would get her in the morning from 8 to 6 and then from 9 to 6.
What's harder, watching a boy or watching a...
Grandmas are so easy. Like, grandmas, give me grandma any day of the week. And we're having a ball, too. We're, like, giggling. We're like,
you can have a conversation.
Well, and again, with Nona, I'm not sure it's more of a conversation. It's more of you're kind of talking out. She goes,
like food.
And you're like, yeah, I do, too. Food is fun. She's like, I like all foods. And you're like, okay. I like all foods. Yeah.
Did you have to worry about helping her?
No, she's got that under control. She's good.
Can't get herself up the stairs.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like getting herself up and like wiping and stuff.
Here's the hilarious thing about her. Basically, Carol Ann's friend was working. She basically moved back to help be a caretaker for her. But the story was that like she was like died. Like she like Nona was died. But, like, it almost was like Nona. I don't know. Have you ever had, like, a plant that, like, you just kind of forgot about for a long time and then you, like, start watering it and, like, taking care of the plant and then the plant, like, miraculously just was like, well, that plant's great. Like, Nona is that plant.
You just compared Nona to a dying plant. Okay.
Dude, I think she was. And now I'm telling you, she is a thriving plant because it's like she just
they
literally were like, okay, we're gonna say goodbye, and then
they just gave her a little sunlight and water and bada bing bada boom.
I just gotta take care of her. You take care of her, you got the right people taking care of her, giving her some TLC, and she's gonna be around for forever. It's so like I hope to be like that, because she'll just be like, okay, I'm going to go to that porch. And she just like shuffles over to the porch, watches people for like 30 minutes. And then she comes back in, falls asleep watching the television show, and then gets up and like wanders, shuffles to the back and just like looks out the back. And she says, it's so beautiful. Oh, I'm like, okay.
That reminds me, JC, maybe like a year ago, my neighbor across the street, she was probably 95.
Oh, not a good way. Not a good way to start a story.
We have since talked to her kids, and she lived. She apparently was a really great person. She lived a great life. One day, in like I want to say this was maybe May or June. So it was a warmer month in Oklahoma. Like, I'm talking noon, like sun directly in the sky. I look out my window and my neighbor, who, you know, goes outside occasionally to like work on her lawn, but not that long. She's sitting in the middle of the street in her wheelchair with a towel over her head, looking up and just sitting like that. And I said, Joe, I didn't call my wife. I call her Joe. And I said, Joe, should I go see if she's okay? Just not moving, sitting in the middle of the street, looking up with a towel on her head. And I'm like, this can't be good, right?
I don't think that's ever good. I don't know. Like, yeah, that's fine. That's just, she likes that. She's doing great.
So I go over there, and I didn't know how to approach this because I'm like bracing myself. Like, if this is a dead person,
which is fair,
I'm going to be freaked out. I kind of tap her on the shoulder, and she kind of like, ah. And I'm like, oh, thank God. First hurdle is she's locked. And I said, ma'am, I just live right here. I know we've never met, but, you know, would you like me to push you back to your driveway so you're not in the middle of the street? And she goes, no, I just want some sunlight. I was like, well, if you don't mind, I'd like to put you close enough to your driveway that you're not going to get hit by a car. And she goes, okay, okay.
I'm disappointed.
Do you think she was trying to end it?
Oh, my God.
Like,
gosh.
Right there? Do you think that was her, like, I, like, she didn't, like,
you know,
like, low-key, she was trying to just...
That's not a bad way to go.
Just waiting for the car.
Some kid just listening to freaking rap super loud, like, texting and dry, just no idea, just smokes her.
We should not be laughing.
Not funny. It's not funny.
But what's funny is she said she was getting some sun, but she had all sleeves on and her face was covered with a towel. So I'm like, I don't think you're getting any sun.
I mean, maybe she's just like, I don't want any rays, but I want the warmth. That does sound kind
of
nice.
Yeah. Middle of the street. Yeah. Well, hold on. Here it is. So we have an email officially. All your little duties. If you have questions or want to, you know, just contact the Dude Podcast, myself, Will, please shoot an email to dudepod1987@gmail.com. That's dudepod, one word, 1987@gmail.com. We'd love to get questions, answers. We actually... I got a request via text recently from John Mateo, who's a listener, and we will discuss those subjects probably in the later pods. So awesome. But yeah, DudePod1987, send in your questions, requests, anything you want us to talk about, pictures, you know, collages that you've made, all these good things.
That'd be great. Don't forget, like us on social media. Follow us on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, wherever you listen to your podcast. If you don't, Grandma Nana will be very upset with you. What was her name?
Nona.
Come on, put a smile on her face.
Yeah, come on.
I mean, the only two things that make her happy are Wheel of Fortune and you liking and subscribing to the podcast. So we also have some merch come up because you guys have been demanding it. And I'm getting sick of it, frankly. We got some merch coming up. So be looking for that.
You've really been upsetting us because you've been so demanding about the merch. They're filthy messages that are being said about the merch.
Yeah. Thanks for listening, Jordan. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, Jordan.
Thank you so much. That was so much fun.
We're like three amigos. Sometimes with you not in the pod, it does kind of feel a little.
Yeah,
I'm Martin Short.
That's right. That's right. We need. You're a small buff boy. You're a little buff boy. That's what you need to have on the pod. Also, check us out on TikTok, dude_pod. We're there. Jordan's our little buff boy. We love him to death. Duties, have an awesome week, and you guys rock.
Have a great week, everybody.
Bye, duties.